You're listening to ESL Podcast English Cafe, number 157. This is English as a Second Language Podcast, English Cafe, episode 157. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Our website is ESLPOD.com. On it, you can visit our ESL Podcast store, which has some additional courses in business and daily English I think you'll enjoy. You can also download the learning guide for this episode and every current or recent episode. The learning guide contains a lot of additional information, including a complete transcript of this episode, vocabulary words, definitions, sample sentences, cultural notes, comprehension questions, and a free ticket to Hawaii. It's really true, except for the part about the ticket to Hawaii. On this cafe, we're going to have another one of our Ask an American segments, where we listen to other native speakers talking at a normal rate of speech, or a normal speed. We're going to listen to them and explain what they are talking about. Today we're going to talk about a problem that is considered serious here in the United States, childhood obesity, or children who weigh much more than they should. We're also going to talk about what the schools are trying to do about this problem. As always, we'll answer a few of your questions as well. Let's get started. Our topic for this cafe's Ask an American segment is childhood obesity. Obesity is when someone is very overweight. They weigh too much. In fact, they weigh so much that it's bad for their health. This is a problem here in the United States. There are many Americans who are obese. In recent years, it has become a problem with children here in the U.S. as well. In fact, one survey found that about 35%, more than a third of American children, are overweight. And many of those children have health problems because of it. There are different organizations that have been trying to fight this problem. One of those organizations would be the school system, the public schools where children, in addition to having their classes, usually eat their lunch. And most of the schools provide a lunch for the students. We're going to listen today to some people talking about what one particular school is doing to try to change the way that kids eat and try to fight against this problem of childhood obesity. We're going to start by listening to the manager in the kitchen where this one particular school in Berkeley, California, has changed its offerings, has changed what it gives kids for food. And he's going to describe the different kinds of food that are available. Now, he does speak somewhat fast, and because they're in a kitchen, there's a lot of other noise in the recording. So listen, try to understand as much as you can, and then after, we'll go back and explain everything he said. Here we go.
Right here we're doing hamburgers and hot dogs and veggie burgers. It's all grass-fed beef. On this station, we're doing egg rolls with Asian noodle salad. This side over here is all organic salad bar. On the other side of that, it's going to be teriyaki meatballs with rice and vegetables.
He begins by saying, right here, we're doing hamburgers. The expression we are doing or we're doing means we're making. In this case, we're cooking hamburgers, hot dogs, and veggie burgers. If you ask your wife or husband, what are you cooking for dinner? They could say, oh, we're going to do pizza tonight, meaning we're going to prepare, cook, make pizza. So some of the things the kids eat at lunchtime in an American school would be hamburgers, hot dogs, and at this school, veggie burgers. Veggie, V-E-G-G-I-E, is an informal way to say vegetables. A veggie burger is a food that is like a hamburger. It looks like a hamburger, but it doesn't have any meat in it. Sounds a little strange, but that's very popular in many restaurants and at this school. They have veggie burgers. Many vegetarians, people who don't eat meat, eat veggie burgers instead of hamburgers. I can't say I like them. Then he says that the hamburgers are made with grass-fed beef. He says it's all grass-fed beef. Fed is the past tense of to feed. If you say something is grass-fed, you mean that the cows ate grass. That was the only thing they had for their food. Sometimes cows are given chemicals and artificial foods to make them grow more quickly. Cows that are used to make hamburgers at this school, however, are only fed grass. The idea is it's healthier. The man speaking then points to a particular station. When we talk about a station in a restaurant or in a kitchen, we're talking about a particular space, a place where you have one kind of food. We use this term when we are talking about self-serve buffet-type restaurants. Self-serve means you get up with a plate and you go to the food and you put the food on your own plate. A buffet, B-U-F-F-E-T, is a restaurant that has that kind of arrangement where you can go and get your own food. So at this particular school, at one station, they're making egg rolls, which is a type of food that is popular in different countries in Asia. They're also making Asian noodle salad. Notice once again that he says, at this station, we're doing egg rolls. Once again, using doing here to mean preparing, making, cooking. He says, with Asian noodle salad. Is a very common conversation filler. You'll hear Americans in particular say, you know. Those are ways that they fill up time while they are trying to think of what they want to say. Then he says, on this side over here, pointing to a different part of the kitchen, is all organic salad bar. Something that is organic, O-R-G-A-N-I-C, is something that is grown naturally without any extra chemicals. It's become very popular in the United States for people to prefer organic food. The idea is that food with chemicals might be dangerous, might be bad for your health. So all of the vegetables found in the salad bar are organic, grown naturally. A salad bar is a place where you can get different kinds of vegetables and prepare your own salad. It's called a salad bar, but there are no alcoholic drinks there like a normal bar would be. You can't get a beer at a salad bar. He ends by saying that on the other side of the table, there is going to be teriyaki meatballs with rice and vegetables. Teriyaki is a particular kind of sauce, a Japanese sauce that is used to make different kinds of meats or fish, and this is a teriyaki meatball with rice and vegetables. Let's listen again.
Right here we're doing hamburgers and hot dogs and veggie burgers. It's all grass-fed beef. On this station, we're doing egg rolls with Asian noodle salad. This side over here is all organic salad bar. On the other side of that is going to be teriyaki meatballs with rice and vegetables.
In this next section, we're going to hear from the director at the school district, the person who's responsible for this new approach of giving kids healthier food to eat in the hopes that they won't become as fat as they do when they eat the other kinds of food. Well, the director of nutrition, the person who's responsible for feeding the children, describes why she's doing what she's doing and what are some specific things that she was trying to do in creating this new menu. She's going to talk about several different kinds of unhealthy food and how she tried to get rid of it. Let's listen.
When I came to Berkeley, my goal was to really change the food we were serving the kids. I wanted to segue from a system where we had almost all processed foods to one where we're serving fresh foods. We wanted to reduce and eliminate, where possible, refined sugars and refined flours, eliminate trans fats and high fructose corn syrup, eliminate desserts, fried foods, and really try and increase fresh fruits and vegetables and whole foods with an eye really in the long run towards more locally produced foods and more organic foods.
This was a little longer quote. She begins by saying, when I came to Berkeley to work in the Berkeley school system, my goal was to really change the food we were serving the kids, we were giving the kids. She says, I wanted to segue, S-E-G-U-E, from a system where we had almost all processed foods to one where we're serving fresh foods. To segue from one thing to another, or simply to segue to something, means to transition, to move from one thing to another. So I'm going to segue in a few minutes from talking about obesity to talking about your questions that you've asked. It can also be used as a noun. When there is a transition, we can call that a segue. So the director wanted to segue from a system where they had almost all processed foods. Processed foods are foods that have been produced or manufactured by companies that aren't very natural anymore. There are a lot of chemicals, a lot of changes in the food. Tomatoes, for example, are natural food, but ketchup is a processed food. Ketchup is made from tomatoes, but the company puts a lot of other things in there besides just the tomato. The director also wants the school to reduce and eliminate, where possible, refined sugars. To reduce or eliminate, to make less or to completely get rid of these refined sugars. In general, food that is refined has been made somehow different by the manufacturing process. Often this means taking away the healthier parts of the food. For example, refined flour is white and has very few vitamins and minerals because the healthiest part of the grain from which we get flour has been removed, has been eliminated. So refined sugars would be sugars that have been processed, that have been changed somehow. Next, she says she wants the school to eliminate or stop using trans fat and high fructose corn syrup. Trans fat is a very unhealthy kind of fat, and there have been many places, including here in California, where the government has said that you have to stop making your food with this unhealthy fat, this trans fat. Trans is short for trans-saturated fat. High fructose corn syrup is extremely common in many different kinds of processed foods in the U.S. It's an unhealthy kind of liquid sugar that is made from corn. That's why it's called corn syrup. Syrup, S-Y-R-U-P, is a thick liquid. Fructose is another word for sugar. So high fructose means a high sugar corn liquid. She also wants to eliminate or to get rid of desserts and fried foods. Desserts refers to anything sweet that you eat at the end of a meal, typically. Fried foods are foods that you put in hot oil and you cook them. Many people think that the desserts, which typically have a lot of sugar in them, they're very sweet, and fried food are the best tasting foods, or at least some Americans think that. Unfortunately, they can also make you fat. They can make you obese. Then she says that she has tried to increase fresh fruits, vegetables, and whole foods. So fresh fruits would be fruit that is not in a can. Whole foods is the opposite of processed foods. Whole foods are natural or very close to the natural state, how they were grown. For example, brown rice is a whole food. White rice is a processed food. The brown rice still has most of the original material, if you will. White rice has had that healthy part removed and eliminated. She ends by saying that she's doing all this with an eye in the long run toward more locally produced foods and more organic foods. To do something with an eye toward something else means to do something in order to achieve another goal, in order to reach a certain goal. In the long run means eventually. Could be a year, could be 2 years, could be 20 years. One famous British economist said, in the long run, we're all dead. Meaning, you can't just focus on the long run. By that time, some of us may not be here anymore. Like me. I'm too old. But in the long run, they want to move toward or change to more locally produced foods, foods that are produced close to where they are eaten, in this case, Northern California, I guess, and organic foods or more natural, healthier foods. Let's listen one more time.
When I came to Berkeley, my goal was to really change the food we were serving the kids. I wanted to segue from a system where we had almost all processed foods to one where we're serving fresh foods. We wanted to reduce and eliminate, where possible, refined sugars and refined flours, eliminate trans fats and high fructose corn syrup, eliminate desserts, fried foods, and really try and increase fresh fruits and vegetables and whole foods with an eye really in the long run towards more locally produced foods and more organic foods.
We've heard from the kitchen manager and the director of nutrition at the school. Now let's hear from the kids themselves. Do they like this new healthier food? We're actually going to listen to four or five different kids give their opinion. They are teenagers, so it's a little more difficult to understand them sometimes. They also speak very quickly. We'll listen and we'll go back and explain what they're saying.
It's disgusting.
I don't know, I guess it's the way they cook it. So, because they try to be too healthy, I don't really like it.
I think they can improve the food. More people can go there by like having food that we like.
Probably like pizza, nachos.
Yeah, like french fries.
Now we hear what the kids think about this new food. The first boy says it's disgusting. This is a very strong word to say. It tastes really bad. It tastes terrible. It's disgusting. The next girl says, I guess it's the way they cook it. It's the manner in which they cook it. Cuz, which is a short informal form of because. Cuz they try to be too healthy. I don't really like it. The next girl says, I think they can improve the food. More people can go there by having food that we like. Another girl gives some examples. She says, probably like pizza, nachos, and then the final girl says, yeah, like french fries. So the kids want things like pizza, nachos, which are a type of tortilla chip that is fried and usually covered with cheese. It's a popular Mexican or Mexican-American food. And, of course, french fries, which are deep-fried slices of potatoes. So, basically, the kids don't really like this food at all. Let's listen again.
It's disgusting.
I don't know. I guess it's the way they cook it. So, because they try to be too healthy, I don't really like it.
I think they can improve the food. More people can go there by like having food that we like.
Probably like pizza, nachos.
Yeah, like french fries.
Our thanks to the Voice of America, from which we took those recordings from a story that they published last year. Now let's answer a few of your questions. Our first question comes from Maxim, M-A-X-I-M, in Russia. Maxim asks about the words furthermore, moreover, and besides. What are the differences in use among these three words? Well, all three of the words, can be used to show that you are going to give someone additional information, more information. You give them one piece of information or two pieces of information, and now you're going to give them something in addition. In fact, you could also say in addition or additionally to mean the same thing. Furthermore and moreover are both considered more formal and are common in writing. The words furthermore and moreover also suggest that the information that you are giving them, the additional information, is a little more important than the information you already gave them. For example, you might say, we have to fire this employee. He has missed several days of work, and furthermore, he lied to us several times. What you are saying here is that you have different reasons for firing this person. One reason is that he missed several days of work. An additional reason is that he lied to us, which is even more serious. The word moreover is used similarly. I could say, this is not a good place to rent. The building is not clean. Moreover, it looks like it might fall down soon. So I have a couple of reasons here. One, the building isn't clean, so I don't want to rent there. And an additional reason is that the building might fall down. It's not very well built. The word besides has the same meaning as furthermore and moreover, but it's a little less formal, a little more informal. You will hear besides a lot in spoken English. You might hear someone say, for example, I asked that beautiful woman to dance with me. She looked at me and said, no, you're not a very good dancer. And besides, I'm married. So two reasons she didn't want to dance with me. One is that I'm not a good dancer, and the other one is that she already has a husband. That's besides. Gilbert, G-I-L-B-E-R-T, in France, asked us a question that has to do with the meaning of the expression, the old wink, wink. He read an article that said former U.S. President Clinton accused Obama of doing the old wink, wink on trade. The verb to wink, W-I-N-K, means to open and close your eye very quickly. We often wink to show affection. Perhaps we're attracted romantically to the other person. But sometimes we use it to show that we aren't really serious about what we are saying. To give someone the wink, wink, or to give someone the old wink, wink, means that you are suggesting that what you are saying is not something you really believe. And that's the meaning of that particular phrase. We sometimes use wink, wink to indicate that you mean the opposite of what you are saying. Finally, Bill from China wants to know the meaning of the expression, what a thrill. A thrill, T-H-R-I-L-L, is a feeling of happiness, of great happiness, of excitement. It's a pleasant thing. It's a good thing. What a thrill means how exciting, how wonderful. You may be watching a game, a baseball game or a football game or any other kind of sports, and it's a very good game. And you may say, what a thrill. It was an exciting game. We commonly form these kinds of expressions in English by saying what a plus a noun. If someone has a great idea, you may say, what an idea, meaning that's a great idea. Or if it's a beautiful day, the sun is shining as it is here today in Southern California, you may say, what a day. Or, what an episode, Jeff. Good job. Well, thank you. If you have any questions or comments, email us. Our email address is eslpod@eslpod.com. From Los Angeles, California, I am Jeff McQuillan. I thank you for listening and hope you'll come back and listen to us next time on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan and Dr. Lucy Say. This podcast is copyright 2008 by the Center for Educational Development.